Dear Sangha, today is the 11th of June in the year 2010. We are in the European Institute for Applied Buddhism and the Great Compassion Temple. Also called the institute is also called the No Worry Institute. And today we are going to hear a teaching for the retreat, which is for the Order of Interbeing Members. Yesterday, Thay finished translating the last sentence of the Dhammapada, which comes from the Chinese version. Here, many people have read the Dhammapada when it translated from Pali. Very few people have read the Dhammapada among us who have read the Dhammapada translated from Chinese. The Dhammapada in the Chinese canon, it is richer than the Dhammapada in the Pali version. There is more said about. It is more than the 13 chapters that we have in Pali, and the first chapter is about impermanence. The final sentence in the Chinese canon of the Dhammapada is like this. On my head, it begins to have white hair. My youth has been stolen, has been taken away. It seems like they have come to tell me that, and I should become a monk or a nun as soon as possible. This is the last sentence. Do you think it's a good sentence? Whoever has begun to have grey or white hair, please put up your hand. If you haven't become a monk or nun, you better start thinking about it quickly. Once you become a monk or a nun, ask yourself, have you really become a monk or nun? We are born as a human being on this planet Earth. It is a great fortune to be born like that. We have been lucky enough to be able to take our time to stroll around on this earth, this and if we do not know how to enjoy our stroll on this earth, that is such a waste of us having been born a human being. There is a sentence which we write in the calligraphy, which comes from a poem in Chinese.
Kim sanh bất bà di đà niệm uổng tài nhân gian tội nhất tao.
I'm sorry, I can't translate from Chinese.
When
we translate it into Vietnamese, it goes like this. I have, Thay translated it like this. Not knowing how to stroll around in this beautiful pure land, even if you were for men thousands of lifetimes a human being, it would not have any meaning, any benefit. One of the reasons why we have been born on this beautiful planet Earth is to be able to stroll, to enjoy our walking, to enjoy our...
Yeah.
And the the musician, the songwriter, Trinkom San, also saw that to be able to stroll at leisure on the earth is the best thing.
With
the beginning of the autumn, we have to, we hear the birds, we have to go out for a walk. We only need to open our eyes, open our ears. We can be in touch with the wonders of life. The birds singing, the pines calling, the pines singing, the flowers opening, and this pure land earth of us is there. But we have allowed someone to steal our youth. We have allowed our hair to grow grey, and we have wasted our ears. So we now have to wake up. We have to learn how to live the days that are left to us very deeply. If not, it's such a waste not knowing how to stroll in enjoyment on the earth. If we even born a human for 10,000 lifetimes, we might just as well not have been born. It begins, this is how it begins, the Dhammapada. The Dhammapada begins by saying, waking up, you should smile. And we have the gatha, waking up, I smile, I have 24 brand new hours. I vow to live them deeply, using my eyes of love to look at life. I think Phat Nguyen will transcribe Thai's translation of the Dhammapada as an offering to the Sangha that practices and the net of sensual love. Is also taken from the Dhammapada. When the well-honored Lord was 80 years old, he spent all his time in strolling, in enjoyment on the earth. He went south, he went north, he went everywhere in the small kingdoms of India, of that part of India. And wherever he went, he benefited. He enjoyed the beautiful geography, the beautiful scenery. He was teaching, but he was also enjoying himself and teaching. They were the same thing. He did not waste his time. He knew that his time left to him was very little. So he saw precious, as very precious, the life that was left to him. And the last years of the Buddha's life, at the time when he strolled in enjoyment on the earth more than any other time, the king, Bimbisara, Prasenajit, Bhatanat, the king Prasenajit was also was born on the same year as the Buddha, and they were both 80 years old at the same time. He saw the Buddha enjoying himself so much when he walked around. He wanted to walk around in enjoyment also, and Prasenajit followed along as the Buddha walked with his monks in his kingdom. And these two very close friends, one was a Dharma king, the other was a worldly king. And the Buddha went with his monks, and the king went with his guards, his attendants. And they used to meet each other sometimes. And there was a time when these two good friends met them, each other for the first, last time. And the sutra records this meeting in the sutra called the Adorning the Dharma, Adorning the Dharma Sutra. The King Prasenajit praised the Buddha in this sutra before and Ananda was there and heard it.
Thiền hành là một cái pháp môn thực tập.
Walking meditation is one of the most important practices of Plum Village. It means to take each step with peace, with joy and freedom. It is a practice of enjoying your stroll.
Chúng ta thường đi như bị ma đuổi.
We often walk as if there's something chasing us, somebody chasing us. We walk and we talk at the same time. We don't really profit from every step we take. So we learn walking meditation in order to learn how to enjoy every step. When you drink a cup of tea,
thì quý vị có thể trân quý cái chén trà,
appreciate
cái chén trà,
the cup of tea,
hớp từng
hold
trà,
up the cup of tea and sip every drop of tea with all the happiness you have.
Những người không biết uống trà,
those of you who don't know how to drink tea, who gulp it down. Gulp it down like a Coca-Cola.
Còn người biết uống trà,
there are somebody who knows how to drink tea.
Uống từng ngụm nhỏ.
Just takes a little sip at the time, but tastes every drop of tea and swallows something very, very tasty. And sometimes we just have a little cup of tea, but it's full of brotherhood and sisterhood. Freedom, awakening, it wakes us up, brings us happiness. So in our tradition, we have the practice of tea meditation, because tea meditation is to learn to drink tea like that. One cup of tea can bring a lot of happiness, a lot of brotherhood and sisterhood. And for 1 hour, you can enjoy a cup of tea. Don't gulp it down. Now that, because if you do, it's like a buffalo drinking, an ox drinking.
Khi chúng ta uống trà như vậy,
when we drink tea like that,
ăn cơm cũng vậy.
We eat like that. We enjoy every mouthful of food, we eat with lightness, happiness, every herb, every piece of tofu, to have happiness at every moment, to have freedom at every moment. The way we eat is very different from the way that the animals eat.
Từng cọng rau,
we appreciate every herb, every vegetable, every leaf, every piece of tofu. We eat each mouthful to have peace and joy, to have freedom, to have ease, to have brotherhood and sisterhood. Twice or three times a day, we have an opportunity to practice like that. To sit and eat with each other is a practice. We take our time. We're not wanting to finish quickly. We see that a meal is an opportunity to practice, and we eat to be happy, and that is also a stroll. When we have a ice cream in a glass, we have to eat in such a way that every spoonful of ice cream is something we enjoy, something that brings peace and joy. In France, sometimes they advertise
yogurt
in this way. This yogurt tastes very good. You should be you eat it slowly so that it lasts for a long time. Eat it slowly so that it eats it lasts a long time.
Eat it slowly so that it can last longer. Thì kiếp người cũng vậy.
And our life is like that too. Our lifetime, we have to live it, appreciating it. We have to enjoy every moment. We have to taste every moment. Every moment that we are given to live, we have to appreciate, hold precious, and live deeply. We have to live it as free people. And if you want to do that, you have to train how to do it, relying on the Sangha. You have to learn it bit by bit. If not, you will waste your life. Has anyone stolen your life, your youth? It's you who have wasted your youth, yourself, because you don't know how to live. You don't know how to appreciate, and now your hair is gray.
Sư già, của thiền đình đã tới, đã báo.
The old age has come to us, and our gray hair is a bell of mindfulness to us. And if we can practice like that, our life goes very quickly. So we have to wake up. We have to live in such a way that in the future we don't regret. We have to live so that every moment of our daily life becomes a legend for our descendants. For our ancestors lived like that. And now it's our turn to live like that. In the retreat for German people we just had, all who came were very happy. They really appreciated walking meditation. And when they saw Thay with the child in each hand, holding the hand of a child on the beautiful green grass with the purple and white flowers, they saw that here is the paradise. We don't need to go anywhere anymore. Each step is a enjoyment, a happiness. We value each step just as we value each sip of tea. Or each spoon of ice cream. Why do we have to be in a hurry? We have to walk in such a way that every step is happiness, is peace. So in Plum Village we never speak when we walk. If we speak and walk at the same time, it's like eating and talking at the same time. You don't enjoy your food anymore. You don't enjoy your step anymore once you start talking. In the Sangha, there are people who can walk without talking, who can enjoy every step. Those people are not wasting their paradise. Not wasting their life. And when Thay sees a student walking like that, he's very happy. He thinks, this person is my continuation. This person is the continuation of the Buddha. Walking like that, we continue the career of the Buddha. We continue the career of our ancestral teachers. We continue the career of Thay. We have the habit energy of losing ourselves. We just heard a direction on walking meditation, on walking mindfully, and then we go out and we just walk and talk at the same time loudly, and we lose all our mindfulness of our steps. The monks and nuns who were there in the German retreat, we were more than 140. The monks and the nuns put all their heart into organizing the retreat. And when they saw the German people practicing and being happy with the practice, transforming because of the practice, the monks and the nuns were so happy. The happiness we wished for other people had become real. We also wish ourselves to be happy, but when we see others happy, it makes us very happy. The amount we give is more than the amount we receive. The monks and nuns and the lay practitioners who are helping worked with so much love, and they, because of what they saw, that what they gave was less than what they received. They received so much from the happiness of the retreatants, and they did all kinds of things like cooking, cleaning, working so hard, but they saw that they were so well repaid by the happiness that people had. A retreat that has many people who practice well in the retreat. That retreat is successful. That is a resource. The new people who come, they see all around them those who are walking mindfully to left and to right. There is someone walking mindfully. In front, there is someone walking mindfully with freedom and peace. Behind, there is somebody taking free and peaceful steps. So in that environment, all we can do is make progress and do the same. When we take part in a retreat, we have to contribute our own part to the retreat by our own practice. We have to profit from each moment of the retreat. We have to know how to profit from each breath, from each step, from each smile. And that is our offering for ourselves and for all others in the retreat. Thai Pháp Âm told me the story of the priest who came here. He came here and was very impressed because he saw so many Buddhists, practitioners, very silent, very concentrated. When they listen to teaching, they listen with their whole heart. And Dharma discussion is the same. They do it with their whole heart. And that priest really wished that his own congregation could do the same. That doesn't mean to say that we're doing very well as Buddhist practitioners. We could do much better. We could do walking meditation better. We could practice the method of mindful breathing better. We could use loving speech more. We could practice noble silence better. And we have to accept that the German practitioners who came to our retreat practiced wholeheartedly. On the one hand, because they were supported by the monks, nuns, and the lay practitioners here, and from another point of view, because they really valued each moment they had to practice here during those 5 days. Every member of the Order of Interbeing, the core community, has to be a pillar, has to be an inspiration. The brown color, the brown jacket, symbolizes humility. When we put on our brown robe, our brown jacket, we have to see that we are showing that we are a humble person, because the brown color in Vietnam is the color of the peasant farmer, the color of humility. The brown color is also the color of force, of great power, of great spiritual force, of the force of peace. Very silent, but very powerful. And when we wear the brown jacket, the brown robe of a monk or a nun, we have to manifest that spirit, the virtue of humility. We do not say that we are worth more than someone else, better than someone else. We have more authority than someone else, more power. We have a spiritual strength, and that spiritual strength is very silent. It makes no sound. It is the silence of the brown color. And the lay people, when they put on the brown jacket, they also put it on in this spirit, the spirit of humility, the spirit of the power of silence. In English we say the order of interbeing, but the word tiepien in Vietnamese,
tiếp
the word tiếp.
Nó có nhiều nghĩa.
Has many meanings.
Cái nghĩa đầu tiên của nó.
The first meaning is to accept, to receive.
Mình tiếp nhận cái
gì? We receive something. What do we receive and from whom do we receive it?
Trước hết mình nói là mình tiếp nhận
first of all, we say we receive from our ancestors the beautiful and good things, the understanding, the insight of our ancestors, the virtue of our ancestors.
Mình tiếp nhận
we receive
từ tổ tiên, tâm linh,
from our spiritual ancestors
giáo pháp, nhiệm bằng,
the wonderful Dharma,
cái hạt giống của tự giác,
the seed of insight.
Để làm vốn liếng.
This is our resource
là tiếp nhận,
which we receive.
Vậy vậy cho nên
therefore
cái việc làm đầu tiên của người thực hiện,
the first thing that an order member needs to do is to receive what the ancestors have received or have transmitted, and sometimes they transmit but we do not have the capacity to receive the transmission. For example, Thay invites the bell.
Lâu lâu thầy ngồi thầy thỉnh chuông.
Sometimes Thay will sit and invite the bell.
Thì mình có thể học được cách thỉnh chuông của thầy.
We can learn from the way Thay invites the bell. But sometimes 2 or 3 years later, we still cannot invite the bell properly. It's still very astringent. Is still very obstructed. After Thay invites the bell, it's like it's muted. But Thay invites the bell in such a way that it flies up into the sky. And other people can invite the bell. It's either muted, it doesn't, it's obstructed, or it's astringent. It's sharp. We haven't been there to accept the transmission, receive the transmission. Somebody who is skillfully practicing only needs to look at Thay or an elder brother or sister, and after that will know how to invite the bell. A monk or a nun should do that. A lay person should do that. When we are really there, when we are close to Thay and those elder brothers and sisters in the practice, we can learn a great deal from them. We can receive very quickly from them. The way of Thay walk, that Thay walks, stands, is in contact. This is Thay's way of transmitting. You just need to look and you can receive. You just need to observe and you can receive from the Buddha, from the ancestors, from those who have gone before.
Những người tới sau mình.
And sometimes people come after us and they have received.
Mình trước những người đó, mình phải tiếp nhận từ những người trẻ mình.
And they've received before we do, so sometimes we have to learn from those who are younger than us. We have to receive from those younger than us. And what we receive is our heritage. We have to receive our heritage. This heritage is not land, is not money, is not jewelry. It is the heritage of the true Dharma. And we have to ask ourselves, how much have I received? The ancestors really want to transmit, they really want to give. But because we don't receive, we don't want to receive, or we don't have the capacity to receive. Just like give a lot, but we receive very little. And then we let down the person who gives if we don't receive what they give. We are not kind to the person who gives when we don't receive the gift. So learning is a matter of receiving. We have to be there to receive, to learn. And when we have received, we can continue the ancestral line. Therefore the meaning, the first meaning of tiếp is receive.
Mình tiếp nhận rồi.
Once we have received, we practice, we use it, we nourish it.
Và mình tiếp nhận rồi, thì
and once we have received it, we can continue. Who do we continue? We continue the Buddha, we continue the ancestral teachers, we continue Thai, we continue spiritual ancestors. A child who is loyal to his parents or grandparents is someone who can receive the direction from the parents. The student who has loyalty to his teacher is one who can continue his teacher. And when we have to receive the aspiration and the practice of the Buddha, of the ancestral teachers and our own teacher of this lifetime. The third meaning of tiếp is be in touch with, to be in touch with. So the first meaning is to receive, the second is to continue, and the third is to be in touch with. To be in contact.
Tiếp xúc với cái gì?
What do we have to be in touch with?
Trước hết là tiếp xúc với.
First of all, we have to be in touch with the wonderful present moment.
Cái sự sống màu nhiệm đang có
wonderful life that is present in us and around us.
Tiếp xúc với sự sống.
To be in touch with life.
Và mình phải có mặt đó.
We have to be there.
Chim hót, thông reo,
the birds sing.
Địa đàn.
The wind soughs in the leaves of the pine.
Cả một đời người.
The bird. Otherwise, if we're not in touch, our life is wasted.
Tiếp xúc như vậy để được
when we are in touch like that, we are nourished.
Để được chữa hóa.
We are transformed. We grow. We mature.
Và tiếp xúc đây cũng là
and
tiếp xúc
being in touch here means being in touch with our suffering or the suffering.
Nỗi khổ niềm đau
the suffering in our own body and our own person and the suffering in our environment, in our family, in our society. To be in touch like that is to understand that suffering, our own suffering, and the suffering of our society. And then we will know what we need to do and what we should not do in order to be able to transform this suffering. On the one hand, we need to be in touch with what is wonderful, because that will nourish us. And on the other hand, we have to be in touch with our suffering so that we can understand, love, and transform. That is what is meant by the word tiếp.
tiếp xúc là
to be in touch. To be in touch.
Tiếp nối là to continue. Tiếp nhận là to receive.
This is the meaning of these three words. They all come from deep. And the word hien, the second word.
Chữ hien, nó trước hết nó có nghĩa là
first of all, it means
cái gì nó đang có mặt.
The thing that is present, that is there, the present moment.
Cái gì đang có mặt là sự sống.
What is present? What is present is
cái
life.
Đang có mặt là
what is present is the paradise. What is present is our person.
Và tiếp xúc trước hết đó,
and being in touch
is
to be in touch with what is happening.
Trong giây phút hiện tại.
Now,
thì hiện nó có nghĩa là
hiện means
dristi.
What we can contact with our senses, drishti is sometimes translated as the perceived, sometimes translated as kien, which means the seed, and sometimes as hien, which means what is happening now. Kien pháp means the things we can perceive now in the present moment. What are you seeing now? The sangha, the pine trees, the drops of rain. These are things you have to be in touch with. The suffering now in our life, things that we are in touch with, perceiving now. We have to be in touch with them.
Mình không được ở trong cái tháp ngà.
We cannot stay in our ivory tower.
Có sự tưởng tượng.
Of our lý luận. Dreams of our
của chủ thuyết.
Intellectual proliferation of our systems of thought. We have to be in touch with the truth. The wonder of the truth.
Và nhờ
and thanks
mình có khả năng tiếp xúc
to being able to be in touch with whatever is really happening, we can practice that thing which is called Drishta Dharma Sukha Viharam. This is the Dharma door of Plum Village, living peacefully, happily in the present moment. The word hien means now.
Thực tại, trong giờ
reality, now.
Hien này cũng có nghĩa là
the word hien
thực hiện
also means to realize. To put into practice. To make something a reality.
Làm cho nó trở thành ra cụ thể.
Make something concrete.
Làm cho nó make thật sự có mặt.
Something really there.
Cái sự tu chứng của mình chẳng hạn.
For instance, our realizing the practice.
Thực hiện.
That is also what is meant by him, the king.
Realization cũng có nghĩa là tu chứng.
Realization means realizing the practice.
cái ước mơ của mình, chi kỷ niệm
our dream, ideal to have real freedom.
Mình không có muốn sống cuộc đời
we do not want to live a life of bondage, a life of slavery. We want to be free. Only when we are free can we be really happy. Therefore, we want to break the nets and the prisons which keep us from being free. And that is our passion, our infatuation, our hatred, our jealousy. We do not want to be caught in that kind of net that tangles us up. We want to be free from that. Just like the deer who gets out of the trap and is able to run freely. So the lay person is like, the monk or nun is like a deer has not caught in any of the traps, who's able to avoid all the traps and jump and run in any direction. And this is a sutra that tells us about the monks living in the forest. They're very happy, they have Dharma discussion, they have practice of meditation, and they are living in the forest for 3 months of the retreat. And then there are a number of people in the forest who live nearby, and they see that the monks after 3 months have gone away, and so they cry, and others ask, why are you crying? And he said, because for the last 3 months there were monks staying here and practicing here. They did sitting meditation, Dharma discussion, eating in silence. It was wonderful. It was so happy. And now they've all left. Where have they gone? And the other person said, they've gone. They've gone to Kosala. They've gone to Rajagriha. They've gone to Vaishali. They are free person. They're like deer who overcome all the traps, and they can go freely in all four directions. And they have that kind of freedom. That sutra is a very short sutra. And there are two sentences, like, just like the deer, which overcome all the traps. They are free to go where they like. And Thukhien means to realize. It does not mean to realize a building, an institution, even though it may be the EIAB. That is not the most important realization. This realization is a realization of the practice. And that is the aim, the direction that a monk or a nun or a lay person has to go in.
Mình là người xuất gia.
As a monk or a nun.
Mình là người cư sĩ.
As a lay person.
Mình là đệ tử của Bụt.
We are all disciples of the Buddha.
Mình không muốn sống cuộc đời hệ.
We do not want to live a life of bondage.
Mình muốn.
We want to be free.
Thì mình phải có công phu.
So we need to practice.
Chính cái công phu thực tập hàng ngày
and
đó
our daily
là cái giá trị của vị hành giả.
Is the value of the practitioner, which liberates the practitioner. We are not caught in fame. We are not caught in profit. We are not caught in something, a position. We are not looking for a position in society, some authority, some power. What we are looking for is liberation and freedom. And that is realization. So hearing means realize.
Có một chữ Anh nữa gọi là materialization.
It's another English word, materialization, makes it something concrete, it takes something material, but the word material is not the best connotation.
Manifestation
is also a meaning of hiền, the third meaning, manifest. Và mình có thể thêm vào một cái nghĩa. And we can add another meaning
cho chữ hiền.
For the word hiền.
Tức là làm cho nó
means we make it appropriate to the time,
thích hợp với cái xã hội,
suitable
đây,
for our society here and now.
Cái đó là hiện đại hóa.
That means updating, it means
thì hiện này có nghĩa là hiện đại hóa.
Yeah, it means to make appropriate to the time and the place.
Tiếng Anh gọi là actualization.
In English we call it actualization. And the two words, deep hiền, with all this meaning, how can we possibly translate it into English as one or two words? So we have to just learn about it in Vietnamese, and then when we translate into English, we just say order of interbeing. If you don't speak Vietnamese, you have to find a way to understand what these two words mean, which have their root in Chinese. And we know the meaning of these two words. We know what is the basis of the order of interbeing. And we know the direction of practice of the order of interbeing.
Bồi được chưa?
Can thầy erase it?
Vậy thì với những cái ý nghĩa
so
đó,
with this kind of meaning,
thế nào gọi là đạo Bụt?
We can understand what is meant by Buddhism. Engaged Buddhism. Buddhism that enters the world.
Mà tiếng Anh gọi là engaged Buddhism. Đạo Phật nhập thế. Thì nhập thế.
The word enters the world, nhập thế, is written like this.
Đi vào cuộc đời.
Going into life. It is not the Buddhism of the monastery.
Tu viện là
the monastery is not
một cái thực tại,
a reality,
nó bị
which is cut off
khỏi cuộc đời,
from life.
Tu viện,
a monastery,
coi như một cái vườn ương,
has to be looked on as a nursery garden.
để mình trồng những cái con.
Where we can put our seedlings.
Và khi mà những cái con
and when those seedlings have grown strong enough, we have to bring them out and plant them in society.
And
Buddhism is there because of life. Life is not there because of Buddhism. Buddhism is there because of life. If there was no life, no world, there wouldn't need Buddhism. The reason why we have Buddhism is because the world needs Buddhism. Therefore, the monastery, our practice center, has to be looked at as a nursery garden in which there are the right causes and conditions for us to raise to maturity the small seedlings. And once they have been made strong enough, they have been brought out and planted in the world, in society, to serve society. That is what is meant by engaged Buddhism. So while we are still in the monastery, we still have the intention to go into the world. We are preparing to take things into the world. So our training and our practice in the monastery is preparation to go into the world. In China, they don't have this word nyapte, entering the world. They have the expression nyung-yang, people's Buddhism. No, people. Nyan-yang, Phật-yao. Nyan-yang
means
in the world of human world, Buddhism.
Nhân gian là cõi người ta.
Nhân gian means the world of the people.
Đạo Phật ở ngay
Buddhism in society.
Thì cái danh từ nhân gian Phật giáo nó cũng là Phật giáo nhập thế thôi.
It means the same as engaged Buddhism.
Và ngay từ những năm
and from
ngay từ năm 1930 trở đi.
The year 1930 onwards.
Tức là 80 năm về trước.
That is 80 years ago.
Thì ở Việt Nam bắt đầu có cái phong trào.
There was a movement in Buddhism called the engaged, bringing Buddhism into the world, the engaged Buddhism.
Và những cái tạp chí của tiếng Việt của mình ở Việt Nam đã bắt đầu nói tới nhân gian Phật giáo nam mục đi vào cuộc đời.
In Vietnam started to talk about bringing Buddhism into the world.
Rất là sớm.
It's quite early. 1930, or before that.
Mà thầy lớn lên,
and when Thay was growing up,
thì đã bị ảnh hưởng,
he was influenced
cái thứ Phật giáo đó rồi.
By this kind of Buddhism.
10 tuổi đã bị ảnh hưởng,
when he was 10 years old, he was already influenced by this kind of Buddhism.
Mình đọc báo, mình đọc sách, mình biết rằng
he went to school, he read the newspaper. He knew that in the past, Buddhism had played a very important part in bringing back peace. And solidifying the country, making the country strong. They learned about the Li dynasty, the Trang dynasty, and see that the Buddhism prospered then, and that all the kings practiced Buddhism. And that was the spiritual life, the spiritual force, the Dharma body of a whole people, the practice of a whole people.
Không những các vua,
not only the kings
đời Lý, tu tập
of the Li dynasty practiced very well, but the king of the Trang dynasty also practiced very well. The first Trang king, Trang Thái Tông,
tuy là làm một nhà chính trị,
although he was a king, a politician, he had so many things he had to resolve. His practice
thiền, tập,
of meditation, of beginning anew,
mỗi ngày 6 lần.
every day six times. He practiced beginning anew. Here we just have one recitation of the sutra a day, and if we're lucky we have two.
The King Trần Thái Tông,
when he was only 20 years old, already had a deep aspiration and path of practice. He suffered greatly. He was able to overcome his suffering, and then he practiced to success. And he practiced very well. And he wrote books about Buddhism, which are still available today. He practiced the koan practice, dhyana, and the work that is called the six times of beginning anew proves that in the palace, although he was a king ruling the country, he was able to practice every day, offering incense, touching the earth, sitting meditation six times. Twenty minutes every time he practiced, and he continued to rule the country. I don't know if President Obama can do the same.
Bà Merkel ở bên này làm được như vậy không?
I don't know if over here we can do the same. Because our spiritual life nourishes us and makes us strong, and makes someone strong as a ruler or a politician. We should not say, oh, I'm too busy, I don't have time for sitting meditation, walking meditation. If a king can do it,
mình thì lấy cớ là công việc nhiều quá.
We cannot make the excuse that we have too much work.
Không có thời giờ để tu.
We don't have time to practice.
Cho nên cái mà gọi là đạo buộc dấn thân, đạo buộc đi vào cuộc đời,
as engaged to Buddhism, it's not easy to practice. And it's been there for a very long time. It's not just from 1930, it's been in our tradition for hundreds of years, millennia. We are the continuation, we are not a new movement.
Mình chỉ là sự tiếp nối thôi.
We are only a continuation.
Và mình đã có những tác phẩm như là đạo
and
Phật.
We have works like books like Buddhism Today, updating Buddhism, bringing Buddhism into the world. And we will understand the meaning of these books of Thai, which are in Vietnamese, when we understand what is meant by Tiếp Hiền. And our process is very easy. From engaged Buddhism, we go to applied Buddhism. Now we have another word. Not only engaged Buddhism, engaged Buddhism leads to something very close to it, that is called applied Buddhism. The word applied is used in secular context. Just to talk about applied science or applied mathematics. And this word is used a great deal. And when we say, we talk about the three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and we give a Dharma talk about the three jewels, what do we mean by Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha? Why do we call the three jewels? We have to show people how they can apply the teaching of the Three Jewels. In a retreat for the German people, we had a teaching about the way of applying the teachings of the Three Jewels. How can we practice taking refuge in the Three Jewels? Because when we recite, I take refuge in the Buddha, Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, that is not taking refuge, that is just proclaiming, just announcing that you are taking refuge. But you have to produce the energy of concentration, mindfulness, and insight. And that when that energy protects you, then you are protected by the energy of the Three Jewels. And when we practice, I come back to the island of myself to take refuge in myself. We have to practice breathing in such a way that we produce the energy of mindfulness, concentration, and insight. Right mindfulness is the Buddha, shining light far and near. Breathing is the Dharma, protecting our body and mind. The five skandhas are the Sangha, working together diligently. And when we practice like that, we produce the energy of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and then we really are protected by the Three Jewels. That is the most secure situation to be in. When we are playing, when we are joint, and time when we are at our wits' end, we don't know what to do. Those are the moments when we need to take refuge. We have to take refuge in the energy of the Three Jewels, and as a member of the Order of Interbeing, we have to have a practice that is solid, so that whenever we have difficulties, whenever we are at our wits' end, whenever we are in a hurry, we know what we have to do in order to get back our equanimity, our balance, our freedom, our solidity. And one of the methods to realize this is taking refuge in the Three Jewels. Taking refuge in the Three Jewels is a practice. It is not an announcement. It is about our faith or our belief. And when we, not a confession of our faith, and we take refuge in the energy of the Three Jewels, we become solid again, we become clear again, and we know what we should do, and especially we know what we shouldn't do, and we put ourselves in the state of security, of safety, and that is applied Buddhism. You talk a lot about Buddhism, but you can't apply it. That is just theory. The universities in the West now have who have the degrees and the doctorates in Buddhism. This kind of Buddhist studies is not applied Buddhist studies. We can be fluent in Pali, Sanskrit, and in Tibetan, and all the different teachings of the three, of the two canons, and yet that is not it's applied Buddhism, because people who have a degree in Buddhist studies, PhD in Buddhist studies, they get difficulty, they don't know what to do, and their Buddhism doesn't help them. So the kind of Buddhism we want to study here is a Buddhism that will help us when we need it. When we teach the Four Noble Truths, the Noble Eightfold Path, the Five Powers, the Five Faculties, the Seven Factors of Enlightenment, all these teachings have to be applied in our daily life. They should not be theory. we can teach the Lotus Sutra very well. The Abhidhammasaka very interesting. We can analyze the Vajracchedika very well. But maybe this is just words to satisfy our intellect. We have to ask ourselves, how can we apply the Lotus Sutra to resolve our difficulties, our despair, our suffering? How can we apply the Vajracchedika Sutra? That is to resolve our difficulties. That is what we mean by applied Buddhism. Applied Buddhism, the idea of applied Buddhism is to help the idea of engaged Buddhism. In the universities, it's very theoretical, it's very abstract. It is not the kind of training that the Buddha used, depended on. We have to learn the applied Buddhism. We study and we put it into practice at the same time. If you are a Dharma teacher, as a monk or a nun, you have to offer applied Buddhism, and your life has to be an example of the teachings. If you just teach, you only teach what you yourself practice. If you are a lay Dharma teacher or a lay apprentice Dharma teacher, you're the same. We do not learn in order to boast our knowledge of Buddhism. When we lead a Dharma discussion, when we give a Dharma talk, it is not to show off our knowledge about Buddhism. We just speak about, we just teach those things which we are really practicing. If we teach walking meditation, we have to practice it successfully, at least to some extent. If not, then we should not yet teach it. That is called the teaching by your life, teaching by your person. There are people who don't need to give Dharma talk. They don't like to give Dharma talk. But those people can be very good Dharma teachers because when they walk, stand, sit, lie down, are in touch with the Sangha, they're always in harmony, peaceful, joyful, open. That is a living Dharma talk. And living Dharma talk, and these people are precious jewels in the Sangha. And those people are not just monks and nuns. There are also lay people practicing very well, very silently. In the teaching, in the history of Buddhist in Vietnam, we have lay people like that. They are lay people, but the monks and nuns have a lot of respect for them, like the layperson Thieu Chu, who has composed the Sino-Vietnamese dictionary, or Pushi Tam. They practice very solidly. They have practiced in the past very solidly. They're dead now. They have come onto the Dharma throne in order to teach the monks and nuns, but always with so much humility. When Lay Linh Tam came to give a Dharma talk, he would put on his robe, his grey robe, and then he would touch the earth before the monks and nuns, and then he would give a talk. And the monks and nuns respected him a lot. In the north, south, and center of Vietnam, there are lay people like that. And the truth is that the monks and nuns really respect those lay people, not because they are rich, because they have power, but because their practice is so solid, and their knowledge about Buddhism is also very strong, and they do what they teach. In principle, there is no obstacle, no reason why we should say that we should not have the monks, nuns, and lay people practicing together, doing the same practice together.
Vì chúng ta có sứ mạng
we have the destiny to bring Buddhism into life, to make Buddhism
hiện thực,
appropriate, applied, to be able to be used in every situation. We really need Dharma teachers.
Và vì vậy cho nên dòng tiếp hiện
Therefore,
một cái tâm một cánh tay nối
dài. The order of interbeing is a hand, an arm that stretches out very far into the world. Monks and nuns also go out into the world. But the number of monks and nuns are not enough to help with as much as needed. Every country in Europe needs a retreat at least one a year. If we were just satisfied the needs of all the countries in Europe, Plum Village would not have any more abbots or anyone staying there to practice. We need to have a strength in our own home ground. We need a strong sangha in our own home ground in Plum Village. We can send a number of people out to teach, but we need to have our root at home. And the same is true with the EIAB. It needs the strength of the fourfold sangha always here all year round to be the resource for organizing retreats and courses in other places, sending out a number of people. So the number of order of interbeing monks and nuns is not enough. We need order of interbeing lay people also. And the lay order members are the long hand of the fourfold sangha that stretches out to society. We need thousands of lay order members to do that work in order to teach, bring the teachings into the world. And of course, we are not like university professors. We do the work. We organize the practice, and we have to be the model of the practice. We have to master the applied Buddhist Dharma doors. We have to learn. We have to be happy when we are doing sitting, happy when we are doing walking meditation, happy when we are practicing noble silence. We have to have the capacity to organize a local sangha where brothers and sisters live together happily. For example, in Munich, we have a sangha. In Dortmund, we have a sangha. How can the sangha in Munich have brotherhood? How can it be a source of confidence for people around? As a member of the order of interbeing in Munich, we have to do that. It's not a matter of having authority or not having authority. Not a matter of being a Dharma teacher or not a Dharma teacher. It's a matter that in Munich we have a sangha that practices happily with brotherhood and sisterhood, which perfumes the whole country. Dortmund is the same. Who is the person in Dortmund who can build a Sangha? And when people hear about the Dortmund Sangha, everyone feels moved, because there people live there like brothers and sisters of the same family. Nobody takes the authority to be greater than the others. Everyone uses loving speech. And everyone who hears about the Dortmund Sangha wants to go there to take part in their sitting meditation, their walking meditation. We need a Sangha like that in Frankfurt, in Brussels, in Liège. We need that in Amsterdam and Paris. And who is going to do that? The lay order members. The monks and the nuns will support. Sometimes they will come and join you. But it's really the lay people that have to do this. And with our brown jacket, which represents our humility, which represents the power of our silence, we have to build a sangha where we are. When there is no competing for authority or for power, where there is brotherhood and sisterhood, where we look at each other with loving kindness, this is something we can do. This is something that the Sangha of monks and nuns is doing. And maybe it's they can do it better.
Chuyện này là cũng phải là cái chuyện tăng thân của những người tiếp hiện.
But the Sangha body
và phải làm hay hơn.
Of the lay people,
nếu mình đoàn kết với nhau,
something they can do better.
Hòa thuận với nhau.
And if we're in harmony with each other, if we have brotherhood and sisterhood, we can do that, and the fragrance of our Sangha will go far, and Thai will be perfumed by that fragrance. And that is our work. And when the lay order Sangha is happy and can work with the monastic Sangha in harmony, then they will work very harmoniously, easily with the monastic Sangha. And those who have the capacity, who have the skill, who have the virtue, will be recognized by the Sangha. And they will be asked to do the work which the Sangha needs them to do. There are Dharma teachers, there are apprentice Dharma teachers among the lay people who are doing very well. I don't want to say their names, but they are quite silent. They open retreats. They lead days of mindfulness. They teach very well. They do not bring about conflict. And disputes. And they were able to help many people. And I hope that in the future we will be able to organize retreats, long retreats for order members, so that order members can strengthen their practice, strengthen their aspiration, strengthen their happiness, and fulfill the obligation which the Buddha has transmitted to them. We have to receive it, and we have to realize it. That is what is meant by tipping, make it a reality. If our Sangha in the West is not yet a place where people can love each other, then we are not yet successful. Who takes responsibility to make the Sangha a beautiful Sangha with brotherhood and sisterhood, worthy to be given the name of Sangha? That is us. It is only us as members of the Order of Interbeing in our local Sangha. who can do that. We should not say, because that person is like that, I can't do it because of that person. We have to say, because of me, my practice is not very good, because I don't have enough humility, because I don't have enough of the strength, the power of silence. That is why we can't do it. It's the same in Belgium. It's the same in England. It's the same in Italy. It's the same in Holland. Our destiny is to continue to receive, to be in touch to the best of our ability and realize the transmission of the Buddha. The order of interbeing have many other things to do also. The order of interbeing needs to realize the practice, need to mature the practice. The charter of the order of interbeing, the 14 mindfulness trainings of the order of interbeing need to be revised. All the beautiful things about the 14 mindfulness trainings have also gone into the 5 mindfulness trainings. But the 14 mindfulness trainings have not absorbed all the good things from the 5. The 5 now are very wonderful. 2 years it took us to revise the 5 mindfulness trainings. And the 14 mindfulness trainings can be better. They're already good, but they can be better. For example, the 5th mindfulness training. The 4th mindfulness training, sorry. It's about suffering and be able to face suffering. Being in touch with suffering. That is the word deep, being in touch.
Để cho sư cô thành đức. Chúng ta có nhiều việc phải làm.
We have many things we have to do, and this work of revising the 14 mindfulness trainings.
Cũng là một phần của sự tu học.
It's also a part of our practice.
Chúng ta phải có một ủy ban.
We need to have a committee of research to do this work, to revise the 14 mindfulness trainings. We praise the 14 mindfulness trainings, but it can be better. Thank you. Aware that looking deeply and being in touch with the suffering can help us develop our compassion and find ways out of suffering. We are determined not to avoid or close our eyes before suffering. It means much richer. We are committing to find ways, including personal contact, in order to be able to help people, images and sounds, to be with those who suffer. So we want to always be waking ourselves up about and people around us about the truth of suffering all over the world. I know that the 4th noble truth is the way out of suffering, and I know it comes from the 1st noble truth. And I vow always to use suffering and turn it into peace and joy. So it talks about the 4 noble truths. It says that if we don't understand suffering, the root of suffering, then we have not been able to see the path that leads us out of suffering and putting an end to suffering. This is the teaching of the 4 noble truths, which has been brought into this precept, the 4th precept. The weakness of this precept is that, or this mindfulness training, is when you recite it, you should see that the shortcoming of this of this mindfulness training is the place where it says to be in touch with suffering. It does not talk about the suffering of ourself. It's more talking about the suffering of other people. That is something missing in this precept. The truth is that when we understand our own suffering, our own pain, then we can only then can we really understand the suffering of others. Here we say that by means such as sounds and being in contact, we have to wake people up to suffering. Well, in the world, a lot of people are waking each other up to suffering already. Recognizing suffering in ourselves and finding out why those sufferings are there, that is the work of looking deeply. And that this is not mentioned in this mindfulness training. We understand one of the weaknesses of our present day people is we want to run away from our own suffering. We have suffering in us, but we are not brave enough to come back to ourselves, to look deeply at them. We try and cover them up by consuming, by using music, newspapers, novels, amusements to cover up our suffering. And now we have the internet to help as well cover up. We don't use the internet because we really need to. We use the internet because we don't want to touch our own suffering. We don't want to be in touch. We don't want to dip our own suffering. We want to be in touch with the wonders of life. But we have to be in touch also with the substance of suffering, the basis of suffering, the root of suffering in ourselves. And when we have understood the root of suffering in ourselves, only then can we find the way to put an end to it. And once we have understood our own suffering, we won't make others suffer anymore. That is something that's missing from this mindfulness training and needs to be revised. Just like love, if we cannot love ourselves, look after ourselves, how can we love and look after others? We have to understand ourselves first, before we can understand others. We have to love ourselves before we can love another. Without that love, we will destroy both of us, we will bring us both into depths of suffering, or three people, or four people. Thay has asked a number of people to study and give suggestions to the Order of Interbeing about the Sister Dung Nghiêm, Sister Dung Nghiêm, Thay Pháp Lu, etc. These people are looking at the revision of the 14 mindfulness trainings. And if you have time, please discuss this together. There are mindfulness trainings could be put together, two could be put together to give place for a new mindfulness training. And the mindfulness trainings like the first mindfulness training, and the second mindfulness training, the third, the fifth, the 14th, the 11th, 13th, can all be revised, be better, just like the first mindfulness training. It's talking about the fanaticism and the intolerance, which bring about war, suffering. We remind ourselves about the insight of the dualism, the dualistic way of looking. Because of dualism, because we cannot look with the non-dualistic eyes, we have discrimination.
Hiện bây giờ không những trong
lĩnh vực not only in the society.
Luân lý đạo đức trong lĩnh
but
vực
also in ethics, in philosophy, in science. This matter of dualism is a great obstacle. The speciality, the dualism between matter and spirit, between mind and body, the discrimination between subject and object. Not only in politics, in society, in psychology, these things are an obstacle, but also in science they're an obstacle. So in the first mindfulness training, we have to bring in the insight of non-duality, non-dualism. The insight of non-dualism can put an end to discrimination, to prejudice. And in the five mindfulness trainings, we've brought this in already. So when we revise the 14 mindfulness trainings, we have to study the five mindfulness trainings because the five mindfulness trainings are very, very good now. There are things now in the five mindfulness trainings which are not yet in the 14 mindfulness training, and we have to bring them back into the 14. When we revise the five mindfulness trainings, all the good things about the 14 mindfulness training were brought into the five mindfulness trainings. The five mindfulness trainings have become rather like bodhisattva precepts now. You only need to practice the five mindfulness trainings and you have a lot of happiness. You can be a bodhisattva. Therefore, the order of interbeing mindfulness trainings were in the beginning conceived of as bodhisattva precepts. If you have these precepts, you don't need to have. If you have the mindfulness trainings of the order of interbeing, you don't need the bodhisattva precepts. They are not dated bodhisattva precepts. And in Vietnam, the monks and nuns have to receive the bodhisattva precepts of the tradition. But here, instead of that, we have the mindfulness trainings of the order of interbeing, and they are looked on as our bodhisattva precepts. They are very good. They are very good mindfulness trainings. With our practice, with our research, the mindfulness, five mindfulness trainings, are now very complete, revise. So when we revise the 14 mindfulness trainings, we have to look again at the five mindfulness trainings as they are now. And for 45 years, when the Buddha was teaching and practicing, he changed his ways of teaching greatly during that time. And we have to be the same. Every day, the wheel of the Dharma has to turn. After 30 years of Plum Village, it has shown that we are always progressing, always going forward. We are always developing new Dharma doors, new ways of teaching that are more beneficial, which are more effective. And therefore, we should not be satisfied with the 14 mindfulness trainings as they are now. We need to have a council of the order of interbeing, an assembly of the order of interbeing, in order to revise the mindfulness trainings. To help with that,
để tu chỉnh.
We have a committee that's already revising this. But once it's been revised, we have to have an assembly of the order in order to accept the revision and the 14 mindfulness trainings.
Ít nhất là cũng phải hay bằng năm giới.
Have to be just as good as the new, the revised 5 mindfulness training, and we hope it will be better.
Đây là công việc của mình.
This is the work we have to do.
Đứng về phương diện khoa học kỹ thuật.
As far as
mỗi năm người ta đều
science
tạo ra
is concerned, every year they
have mới,
new computers,
những cái software mới,
new software.
Đứng về phương diện
as far as
sách giáo khoa cũng vậy, mỗi năm có những cái sách giáo khoa mới. Thì ở trong đạo mục mình cũng vậy.
Same, there are always new discoveries in science every year. In Buddhism it's the same. We have to have 6 steps forward every year. And Buddhism can lead the way. And the order of interbeing should know that we are standing in the vanguard. We have to go forward.
Và chư buộc và chư tổ,
and the Buddhas and the ancestral teachers are expecting this of us. Waiting for us to do it.
Sáu người tiếp hiện đầu tiên,
the first 6 members of the Order of Interbeing would receive the mindfulness trainings in the Pháp Vân Temple in the year 1966.
Và như vậy thì
and
là bao nhiêu năm rồi?
How many years ago is that?
Giới tiếp hiện đã được tu chỉnh mấy lần?
How many times have they been revised? They've been revised several times already, and now they need to be revised again.
Chúng ta có rất nhiều.
We have many.
Phật sự phải làm.
Buddha works that need to be done.
Chúng ta phải làm những cái Phật sự đó.
And we have to do this work
trong cái tinh thần tu tập.
In the spirit of practice.
Coi nó là cái đối tượng của
looking
của mình.
At this work as the object of our practice and not as work.
Chúng ta phải có niềm vui trong khi làm.
We should be happy when we're doing
chúng
it.
Chúng ta phải có cái năng lượng.
We should have energy.
Phải có cái năng lượng. Có cái sức sống của chánh pháp.
We should have the living, the life of the Dharma in it.
Thầy tới tuổi này, mà
thầy is already old, but he still has a lot of energy. He still continues to translate.
And
I think that his translation is getting better. It's easier to understand.
Thầy có rất là nhiều
niềm vui. Thầy has a lot of happiness
trong khi dịch kinh,
when he's translating sutras, when he's teaching, when he's practicing, when he's walking, when he's teaching people how to practice. It's a matter of energy.
Nếu mà mình cảm thấy mình
if we feel we have no more energy left,
là tại mình thiếu
it's because we don't have that energy.
Mình thiếu cái gọi là
we lack that thing called aspiration.
Cái năng lượng gọi là nguyện.
Energy called aspiration.
Có cái nguyện lực, sức mạnh.
We need the power of energy, of aspiration. We want to do that. We want to do something for our country, for our ancestors, for our nation, for our society. We have to have an ideal. We have to have the power of aspiration. We have to have the the faith,
những người trong chúng ta,
the confidence
hay là tại gia,
amongst nuns, laymen and laywomen who do not feel enough energy in their, not feel comfortable enough in their practice. They don't practice, they don't want to study, they don't want to practice. They don't have the power of aspiration. They don't have that fire in their heart. Each member of the order needs to have a fire in her heart which offers the warmth, which pushes us forward. And when we go forward like that, we are happy. Whether we are sweeping the floor for the Sangha, cooking for the Sangha, watering the garden for the Sangha, cleaning the toilet for the Sangha, we are happy because we have the energy, we have the aim. The aim is not fame, profit, position. The aim is the great love, wanting to be the continuation, wanting to be a worthy continuation of the Buddha, of our teacher and our ancestral teachers. Now, we're going to do walking meditation together to be happy as we walk.